This is the Fantasy Focus Books and Authors Podcast, episode 11. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Fantasy Focus Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, a show focused on everything in fantasy books. Whether it's epic fantasy, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, or anything else in between, I want you to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on this show. And we'll, of course, be adding in some other special guests along the way as well, so stay tuned. Let's kick things off first off with my personal update. I'm working on edits right now for Cyber's Escape. This is the second book in my new cyberpunk sci-fi series. The story takes place with a definite twist in this part of the trilogy, and I look forward to wrapping it up so I can move on to book three soon. I'm also still working on the first draft of that yet-to-be-named urban fantasy story I talked about in the last episode, and there's a virtual reality gaming twist that's really fun to write about in this one, so stay tuned. I'll have some more updates both here and over on my Facebook feed as well, so check out over there if you want some more in-depth understanding of what I'm working on. As always, if you're interested in that information, you can check me out over on my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Superfans, and on my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. Now let's go ahead and get into our special guest for this episode. I am super excited to say that we have James Jenkins on the show. James is a South African-born writer with an American accent because, hey, children are cruel and laughed at the way he said orange. He was the last kid in his class to learn to read, so once that was remedied, he quickly made up for lost time and read literally everything he could get his hands on. His first novel, Jack Bloodfist Fixer, is about an orc living in Virginia who has to protect his friends and family from a vengeful paladin. And the sequel, Jack Bloodfist Freelancer, is coming out just in a few weeks from now, this April. He's also releasing an anthology of short stories by a variety of authors to raise money for suicide prevention and awareness. It is called Where There Are Dragons and features a little something for everybody, he says, as we talk about it. And that's probably out right now. So make sure you head over to the website at fantasy-focus.com, find this podcast episode and click that link. It's for a great cause and there's some awesome stories in there. Check out my chat with James about the Jack Bloodfist books and more that's coming up right now. James, welcome to the Fantasy Focus Podcast.
Thanks, Jamie. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourselves to our listener. I should say.
Or listener.
Well, it's a new podcast, so you never know. Yeah. I actually, when I do a show, I always just act like I'm talking to one person. So that's kind of the way I do my interviews and stuff.
Makes sense. My name's James. I write fantasy. I've got 5 books out, 6th book coming out later this year. I live in Utah. I was born in Africa, migrated here. And other than that, I'm the most boring person alive.
Something tells me that's not entirely true, but we'll get to the bottom of that in a little bit. So you've got a book that's coming out shortly, and the first book in that series, Jack Bloodfist Fixer, is very interesting premise about an orc living in Virginia. Are there a lot of orcs living in Virginia?
So in that book, every orc on the planet lives in Virginia.
Wow. That explains a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of like a reverse portal fantasy.
Cool.
Where the orcs and goblins came from another world and settled there.
Very awesome. So tell us a little bit about what kind of drew you to write this particular type of, I guess I'd consider an urban fantasy, I guess.
Yeah, I'd call it urban fantasy. So that book in particular, that one was kind of meant to be my... a practice novel, I called it. I've been trying for years to, you know, write that giant epic fantasy tome and always just kept running up against walls. And just kind of doing a little bit of research here and there, I decided I needed to kind of work on my pacing a little bit, see if I could get better at that and make the books move faster, be more exciting. So I decided for that I was going to try to write just like a straight up thriller, you know, like a Jack Reacher style page turner, you know. So I started plotting that out. And in the course of planning the book, I realized that I can't get away from fantasy. I have to write fantasy. So eventually the hero turned into an orc, and his detective friend became a drow. And I just started throwing in all of the classic fantasy races and tried to find ways to make them work in this world. My biggest, like, once I made that decision, the thing I really wanted to do was to make sure that all of the good guys in this story were characters that are traditionally villains in the traditional fantasy. So my hero is an orc, and my primary villain is a paladin.
Now, you know, it's interesting because in the urban fantasies I write, but it often has a similar take to it in that the creatures that live alongside humans are just trying to live, you know, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just there and they just want to be left alone and not mess with anybody.
But someone always wants to, so they have to, you know, that's where the fun comes in.
Yep. Absolutely. Very cool. So, it's you've got a second book in that series coming out, what you said, in April?
April 21st, releasing Easter Sunday.
Awesome. And, this is picks up where the last one left off, or is it almost a standalone unto itself?
So I try very hard to make sure that all of my books are standalone. So it is a sequel. Like, what happens in the first book informs the story of this book. But I think anything that you may have missed from the first one, you could probably pick up through context. That's what I hope, anyway. I try very hard for that, but you might want to read the first one first.
Yep. Well, no, we'll make sure we link to that one and the first one anyway, and let them know about the second one coming up. You want to at least make them somewhat standalone, even books in a series. You want to have them so that if somebody comes in to the middle for whatever reason, they at least can enjoy the story and then maybe want to go back and find out what happened before.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I aim for. And like, there is, you know, the whole overarching story that's kind of carried through from book to book, but it's not the main focus of the story.
So when you first started reading when you were younger, was there something in particular that drew you to fantasy? What was it?
I think for me, it was the fact that the first book that I ever really read by myself was, or series, I should say, was The Chronicles of Narnia. You know, it was just handed to me when I was, you know, old enough to read. So it's kind of just always been with me. Went from that to The Hobbit, you know, and on to other stuff. But it's always just been that fantasy is the genre that I just picked up. I just gravitated towards it. And it's only like in my later years that I read anything else now.
I read The Chronicles of Narnia over and over and over again. Somewhere, I think, in the depths of my mother's home at one point, there must have been some very dog-eared copies of that entire series.
Yeah, I read those a lot. That was almost an annual reread for me.
Did you have a favorite of the series?
My favorite was always the Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Okay.
I just like the road movie aspect of it, you know, just island to island.
Yeah, my favorite was The Horse and His Boy.
Oh, that one is good.
Yeah, I just love the whole concept of, you know, the reversal, the role reversal there. Who had who, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. The horse is probably the smart one in that pair.
Yeah, it is, right? That's great. You know, we're really formed as writers, I think, by those early books that influence us so strongly. Don't you agree?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, especially like, I think it takes practice to kind of move away from that. Like, I think I'm sure for every writer, the first book they try to write is a clone of that favorite book of theirs as a kid, you know?
So do you, you've got all these races in your Jack Bloodfist book and you've brought them, obviously they appear throughout different fantasy books and games and things like that. Especially gaming, I guess. Do you still game a lot, or did you game a lot when you were younger?
So video games have always been a part of my life growing up. Then like the last decade or so, I've gotten really heavily into tabletop gaming, like Dungeons and Dragons and all of its cousins. And that gaming, yeah, I still do that as much as I can. If I have a free day, I try to get friends and we roll dice together. And that is probably one of the bigger, if not biggest, influences in the Jack Bloodfist books.
You know, the biggest challenge I have, you know, in my adult life is, like you said, getting that group of friends together on a regular basis to do any kind of main regular campaign. It seems like we get started with good intentions and, we start having too many conflicts to get together regularly, and it kind of peters out after a while.
Yeah, it never – I think I can count on one hand how many campaigns I've actually been able to finish. And that's because as a dungeon master, I try to have very short, focused campaigns. And that number is one, by the way. We finished one campaign.
But, you know, and I was a dungeon master quite a bit, too. And I think that that really influences the way I write, because I tend to think about how the player characters react to each other. And I think it gave me the ability to really see fantasy acted out in real time almost, and how the interpersonal relationships affected the story as it progressed.
Yeah, for sure. I have the same thing. In fact, that one campaign that we actually managed to finish, I tried to throw it together. So it was just like, it was 10 sessions because one of our guys was going to be moving away. So we wanted to like have something big and epic and finished. And by the time we finished that campaign, because I was kind of in a hurry to outline it and get it ready to go, I just stole the outline from a novel I'd been working on and ran them through that. And it was one of the like most eye-opening like experiences as a writer ever, to see all these sudden like, well, that's a problem. Oh, okay, yeah, the characters probably would have done that. And I thought it was amazing practice, I felt. It was a great way to kind of strengthen my outlining process.
Do you do a lot of outlining, or do you let the story move organically, or somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between. I always start with an outline just so I feel confident going in, but usually, a few thousand words in, the outline's out the window.
So what were some of the surprising things that you discovered, when you're writing or when you were playing the game version of that novel? Was it something that the characters did or your reaction to them that surprised you the most?
It was probably more what the players chose to do with the information given to them. So like stuff that I'd assumed was going to be really important to the story, they looked at it once and said, nah, that's dumb. We're going to go do this instead. And the stuff they did usually was way cooler than what I expected them to do. So yeah, so there was that like not to be so tied to one idea, to always be open for, to just let it change.
I think we're stumbling on a whole new way to put a novel together, come up with the plot and then focus group it through a Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Yeah. I've been doing it more often. Like I said, we don't get to play that much, but, I, every once in a while we'll like, hey, we're bored with this story, let's start a new one. I mean, every time I do that, that's what I go into with, well, I have this book idea. Let's see how they like it. And that's what I've been doing for the last three or four campaigns that we've started.
So have you found that improves your writing overall? Like each time you're now doing a better job of anticipating what a character is going to do as you write through the story?
I think so. But it might just be that the more you write, the better you get. So I mean, it could just be, they're unrelated. It just feels like they are. But I like to think that it's improved my writing. If nothing else, it kind of makes it more fun, because when I like approach that draft, I'll remember like, oh yeah, they did this in that situation. It just adds a new layer to it that makes the process a little more enjoyable for me.
So you have the new book coming out in April. Do you have other projects on the back burner? Anything you can talk about?
Yeah. So other than Jack Bloodfist Fixer, I have another series called Broken Redemption. And it's actually a sort of a spin-off series from my Jack Bloodfist books. The first book, which came out last September, maybe October, called Knights of the Dead God. It is the hero in that book is the villain in Jack Bloodfist Fixer. So it kind of gets his little redemption story. And I've got six more books planned in that series. And they're kind of going to run parallel to the Jack Bloodfist books. And they're kind of a more traditional sword and sorcery slash portal fantasy story.
Okay. So they don't take place in a more modern world. They take place in a more medieval world.
Yep. So the, like I said, like I mentioned before, the orcs and goblins all came from another world. This series takes place in that world.
Great. I like the, actually that's fascinating to have the concept of, you know, two parallel worlds, one old, one new, both of them kind of crossing over to into each other and some interaction, but not a lot, so that you've got the relationship there in some respects.
Yeah. And I, like I said before, either one can be read independent from the other. I just think they're probably more fun if you've read the other one too. You get the little Easter eggs in there.
No, that's fun, isn't it? To just kind of drop a little hint here and there, you know, a name or a place name or something like that. That I had a series once I was writing parallel to a friend of mine that was taking place in sort of a similar setting, and I remember making an allusion to his books in that story, you know, just to kind of see if anybody picked up on it. You know, if they read both books, they'd probably go, do these guys know each other?
I just assume every writer knows everyone else. So,
you know, they think but we don't.
No, we don't. I don't know anybody. I just assume everybody else knows everybody else. But yeah, no, that is really fun when you read that thing. It's like, are they referencing this? I always love that when I'm reading. So I try to give that to my readers as well.
Let's switch gears a little bit, because you and I both are pretty involved with the Fantasy Focus site, blog, and Facebook group in various ways. It's become a nice little community over there and growing all the time. What are your thoughts about, you know, having a place like that where readers, writers, and everybody in between can kind of come together and share their love for the genre?
Oh, I love it. I think it's really important to have somewhere you can, you know, just be a fan of something, you know? So I love going on and seeing all the posts of people just like talking about this book they read or recommending books to everyone else. I love seeing all the reviews coming in from the blog's reviewers, just seeing what they've read, what they're enjoying. I'm not a very social person. I'm really bad in social situations. So it's kind of cool to just kind of be a part of a community that's active like this. So.
And it's a safe place, right? I mean, we can talk to you, even if you're not feeling very social, it's a good place where you can leave a comment and people can comment back to you without any kind of problems. I think it's well moderated. Michael's really done a good job putting that group together.
Yeah, and then the mods, especially on the Facebook page, they do a really good job of catching anything that shouldn't be there. You know, I think it's a great little community, and I'm actually really proud that I've been, like, I was there for the birth of it.
Yeah, did it surprise you how fast it grew? I mean, you know, it just seemed like all of a sudden we had a couple thousand people in there.
Yeah, I think we're at 2,100 right now, like as of this recording, and that I've had my Facebook page for 2 or 3 years, and I got 200 some followers on there. So
I hear you. Yeah, they're not quite sure what's going on with that, but I think it's a testament to both Michael's hard work, Michael Evan, who's really put that together and started it, but also, it seems like everybody was kind of hungry for a fresh place that sometimes there's some drama in different places around the web, and it's nice to have a place that seems to have a clean slate and a place where things can start fresh.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the reasons I avoid a lot of online communities, because I'll go like, oh, I want to see what they think about this book I love. Oh no, it's a dumpster fire.
So. Yeah, I don't understand that quite, because I want to talk to every author and I want to know what everybody's doing and working on and projects they're doing. I mean, it may not be the type of book I want to read, but I still want to talk to that author and find out what they know and oh, yeah. You know, the things they share. I think we all can stand to learn something from each other.
Yeah, in fact, I almost more than hearing from authors that write the same type of books I do, I love hearing people that write stuff completely different. I want to see what their process is like. You know, what can we learn from that? How can we bring, you know, what this person writes into our own genre, or I guess subgenre, because we're all fantasy here. But
you know, I've learned some of the most ninja stuff for my writing from romance authors. And not to help me write better romance, because I don't, but just some of the things that they've done, some of the ways that they've, you know, the romance genre is a bunch of standalones, but they write them in series somehow to connect them together. And yeah. They've done it by creating really compelling side characters that they then springboard into the next book. And I think that's, you know, that C and D character, not the AB characters, but the C and D characters, making them strong supports the whole book in such a way. And that was something I learned from a couple of romance authors talking to me about how they build their books.
I've actually started reading romance for that reason, because they're only character. Like, yeah, there's a plot, but only kind of. It's all about creating those characters. I've actually been impressed with what I've been learning from those, trying to bring it into my own writing.
So there you go, folks. The secret behind our fantasy authors is we read romance now and again to learn character development. It's absolutely true. I think that's just an example of how there's always something we can learn from different things. I mean, sometimes I think it's pacing from thriller authors and character development from romance authors, world building from other fantasy and science fiction authors. You know, everybody seems to have their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. And I think it's important to at least acknowledge what your weaknesses are and go find that genre where that's a strength and try to steal that for yourself.
So have you ever been out to a con or someplace like that where you've had an opportunity to meet readers, or is that something that you haven't had a chance to do so far?
There's a convention here in Utah, Salt Lake Fan X now, because San Diego sued them for the Comic-Con title. But I go there every year, usually just as, you know, just walking around the floor and meeting with people. But I did go once. I had a table on the vendor floor, and that was awesome. Didn't meet as many people as I would have liked, but it was my first con. I only had two books out at the time, but the few people I did get to talk to made it amazing. I would recommend that to any writer, to grab a table somewhere and just have people come to you.
And yeah. And you'd be surprised what kind of events are around you. I was urged to check in my area, and I live in a rural part of Maryland, so I wasn't expecting much. I mean, we have Baltimore's Comic Con that happens every year. It's about a little over an hour away from me. I checked with the local community college and the library, and lo and behold, they put on a joint con every year, and they have like 1,500 people attend it, and it was awesome. I'm so looking forward to it. It comes up here in the second week of April, and I can't wait, because it's going to be such fun to go back, you know, a year later, have a couple more books to show and you know, just kind of see people coming through and discovering your stuff and stopping to talk to you and appreciating it. It's really kind of awesome.
Yeah, I love it, especially when they ask, like, well, so what's your book about? And you tell them, and that like, you can tell when they're interested, and that's always awesome. It's like, oh yeah, this sounds cool. I like that. Yeah, and it's always cool when you have other authors around you as well, and you kind of help each other and sell their books to people, and they sell yours to people. That's really fun.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. And I think people sometimes think we're like competing businesses, like we're Coke and Pepsi, and we're just not. I mean, authors, I think at least most of the authors I know really have the opinion that we can't write our books fast enough for the people to read. So we need to make friends with other authors to, you know, help our readers find good books in between.
Yeah, it's like if you like their book, you'll like my book and vice versa. I think when writers first start, they might have that, well, they're not buying my book because they're buying that guy's books. And then I think it's more just an excuse to make themselves feel better, you know? I know for the first month or so my first book was out, I felt that way. And then I realized, what am I doing? These people they should be my friends. I shouldn't be upset when they do well. I should be happy for them. And that's the attitude I've tried to have for the last few years. Just anytime anyone else is successful, that's awesome.
And I'll tell you, I think especially for authors, you know, that work in groups like we were working on the Fantasy Focus podcast and the blog and the Facebook group, that the success of one author in those groups lifts everybody else up. You know, when I have I just interviewed Robin Hobb, which was amazing. And, you know, and her podcast actually was just recently before this one, a few weeks before this one. So people probably already heard it. If you haven't, go back and listen to it. But, you know, when you have an author of her renown on the show, it lifts up every other author's interview, because people go, wow, they had Robin Hobb on. I wonder about this author. I wonder about this author. Let's listen to this episode. And everybody gets a boost. And I think that that's something that, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships. And it's a true thing in books and writing as well as everything else.
No, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
So in addition to Facebook and the occasional con, are you on Twitter or any other social media avenues?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Twitter I kind of just use to follow people I like, so I have a fun timeline. I don't really use it for any – I mean, I talk about my book stuff, so I'm probably worth following if that's what you want there. But I'm on Twitter as at Beth Teva, B-E-T-H-T-E-V-A. Same on Instagram. And, yeah, then Facebook. I'm not the most active, like I said before, but I do occasionally post stuff. And I appreciate people saying hi.
Yeah, I mean, I tell folks all the time, just reach out. Don't be afraid to say hi. I mean, I might not get back to you right away. Sometimes it takes me a day or so to get back to people, but reach out to me. And I'm sure the same is true for you. And you have a website as well?
Yeah, just jamesjakins.com. That'll take you to my blog that I update very infrequently, but it's there.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's fantastic having you on the show, James, and I hope to have you on again. Maybe as you release a book or another book after that or whatever, you know, in the future, we can have you on the show and talk about some other things and some of the new releases and what you have working on the horizon.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Before we wrap up and get to the ending here, James, I know you've got something else on the works going on, an anthology of some sort.
Yes. So my little publishing imprint, Robber's Dog Pub, we are releasing a charity anthology at the end of this month. The book is called Where There Are Dragons, anthology of mixed emotions. It's a mixed genreless anthology. We got 19 writers, 20 stories and poems. Like I said, they're from all different genres. We got literary fiction, we got a few fantasy, we got some bizarro poetry, and the only thing kind of ties them all together is that they all sort of have dragons in them. Sometimes dragons are just mentioned, sometimes they're metaphorical, sometimes they're literal in the case of a few of our fantasy stories, but the anthology is going to benefit suicide awareness and prevention. It's thing that's really important to a lot of us that worked on the book. It releases end of the month, so February 28th, depending on when this episode airs, it might be out already. But yeah, Where There Are Dragons. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere books are sold, basically.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure I get the link from James so that it's in the show notes for this episode. Everybody should go check that out. It's a worthwhile cause. And I'm really glad that we made sure we got the chance to talk about that, because we want to make sure we support these efforts. Authors giving back, and it's a great way for the community to support a great cause and check out some really great reading at the same time. And that will wrap up this episode of the Fantasy Focus podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both over on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode over there or over on the Facebook post in the community, and let me know what's on your mind, what you liked about it, and what you want to hear more of. Always want to make sure we're putting out the things on the show that you want to hear. Also, over on the website, for each podcast episode, you'll find links to subscribe to the show, whether it's on your favorite mobile app, on iOS or Android, or even by email. But make sure you do that. You don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes. We have a lot of great things coming up. We have some pretty awesome authors already scheduled over the next few months, including Alan Batchelder and L.E. Modesitt coming up soon on an upcoming podcast. So stay tuned for that. That's it for this episode of the Fantasy Focus podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book just for signing up on my newsletter over there. And I'd love to chat with you. You can respond back to those newsletters. I have quite a few people. We have an ongoing conversation with response to my newsletters to just ask me questions about what I'm working on and stuff like that. And I love to connect with people. So please connect with me however you'd like to. But whatever you do, make sure you subscribe to the show. Come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I always remind you, it's important, folks. Keep your eyes open, because there's magic all around you.